The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 13. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are summed up in this statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, so love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, since you understand the present time. It is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over, and the day is drawing near. So let us put away the deeds of darkness, and put on the weapons of light. Let us walk decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sin and wild living, not in strife and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not give any thought to satisfying the desires of your sinful flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to introduce a term to you that I'm sure some of you know, but perhaps not all of you. The term is short timer. A short timer is someone who's on their way out. I think the term might have originated in the military as they were waiting to go home, but now it's commonly used in the workplace. A short timer is someone who has turned in their 2-week notice. They are leaving for another job. Short timers have certain characteristics. That's probably why they got this name, to identify those characteristics. Short timers are not likely to take on new and hard projects. They are not likely to put in extra time pro bono. They are not as good of workers as they used to be. Their mind is elsewhere. They're planning for the next job that is coming. They do not enter into the current job with their whole body, soul, and spirit, because that is passing away. Out with the old, in with the new. I'd like to apply this short-timer mentality to our lives as Christians. As Christians, we are short-timers. We were born into this old world and this old life, this life where it is typical that a person might live 70, 80, or 90 years. We've been offered a promotion, though. There is a new life that has been given to us and awaits us. We have received the upward call in Christ Jesus for life together with God. You well know how this came about, that you, a sinner, should be called a child of God. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That, you might say, is the job offer. You have it in hand. What I'd like to speak about today is, now what do you do? What I contend is that you should see yourself as a short-timer. The short-timer still has ties to the old job. He still shows up, but his hope is somewhere else. His mind is on the thing that is coming up, and so it is also for Christians. It doesn't matter if the Christian is a newly baptized baby or very elderly. We are still in this world, but we know that it is temporary. Our hope is not in anything earthly, but in the power of God to raise the dead. This sets Christians apart from those who still have hope in this old world. These people do not see themselves as short-timers, but as lifers who are going to stay forever. So that we can see more clearly the difference between Christians and non-Christians and the way that they look at the old world, let's consider how the non-Christian looks at life according to the old rules. The unbeliever thinks that this is the only life that we have to live, and so we better make the most of it. What does it mean to make the most of it? we have to take in as much pleasure as we can possibly get and hold off all that we possibly can that is unpleasurable. The love of oneself is the goal. That is what is meant by you have to make the most of it. There are a lot of different strategies for attaining that goal, the love of oneself. Some take the high road, some take the low road. Some search for honor and glory, scaling the heights, hoping to be found worthy in their own eyes and the eyes of others. These people on the high road are often industrious and careful to avoid anything that might hurt their reputation. Some take the low road. They despair of gaining approval of themselves in their own eyes or in the eyes of others. The people on the low road seek out pleasure. They have a harder time, though, in keeping this stuff hidden, like the people on the high road, and so they don't have as good of reputations. They might let their love of intoxicants, for example, hamper their ability to work. The people on the high road live life just as much for themselves as the people on the low road, but the people on the high road like to look down on the people on the low road as being altogether different from them. It really doesn't matter whether the road is high or low. People live in a remarkably similar way. All are interested in their own welfare and don't give a rip about anybody else unless they are a friend or a relative. Those on the high road might think that they are not guilty of the sins that the people on the low road commit, but is that actually the case? They believe that they are not drunks, even though they too drink too much, but they're better at hiding it. They do not think that they are perverts, even though they too watch things and think things that they know are wrong. What seems good about the people on the high road is not actually good. It's just hypocrisy. They hide it. They refuse to own the label of sinner, something that those who are on the low road are more likely to believe because that is what everybody tells them. This is why it normally happens that the lowly people are the ones who are closer to the kingdom of God. God despises the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is how it comes to pass that prostitutes and tax collectors enter into the kingdom before the respectable middle class. Those on the high road refuse to take even the first step. They will not own the label of sinners. This is what really makes people into lifers instead of short-timers. Those who are lifers believe that if they only try hard enough, they will throw off whatever it is that is keeping them in shackles. They'll solve whatever it is that's bothering them. They'll finally make it. This keeps them enslaved. They never arrive at sonship. They remain addicted to sin. They are not at all set free from the devil. The way that someone becomes a Christian is that God comes to them with his word and he says to them, "Doesn't this old job stink? You work your fingers to the bone trying to make yourself better and you end up being just as much of a jerk as when you started out. And here's another little secret. The boss is planning on firing you. After all these years of faithful service to the devil, he's going to cut you off from his narcotics. You'll get stuck in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so God offers this advice. Go tell your boss, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Then come work for me. Come into my vineyard. You won't be a slave anymore. You'll be my son. A slave does not remain in the house forever. A son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, then you'll be free indeed. Abide in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is how we become short-timers in this old world that is ruled by the devil, where everybody is just looking out for himself. We used to be full-time employees, working overtime even. Now we have a better job offer. We're still stuck here for a little while. Instead of giving a 2-week notice, we have already even died to this world through the waters of holy baptism, but our sinful flesh is still hanging on. We haven't yet put it off completely. Although that is the case, we by no means have to enter into the flesh's way of life, our old job with our body, soul, and spirit. No. Embrace your role as a short-timer. Be a crappy worker in the devil's kingdom. Show up late and go home early. Keep that inbox nice and full when the devil gives you orders to do this and not do that. What's the worst that the devil can do? Fire you? Good. You already have a new job. And that job's better anyways. Now, this kind of talking that I've shared with you this morning, I didn't make this all up wholesale. What I was trying to do was mimic, in today's language, the way that the apostles speak about our sanctification, the way that we should live as Christians. It's surprising how gentle the apostles are, and that is easy for us to miss. We're prone to hear them making demand after demand like an overbearing supervisor. It can get wrongly translated into our heads that all that matters about being a Christian is our behavior. But that's not how they go about it. Consider the way that St. Paul speaks in our epistle reading today. I think there was a little bit of a twinkle in his eye when he wrote, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." It's rather fun language. He says that we should not hitch our wagons. We should not owe anyone. We should not hitch our wagons to anyone or any spirit. We're already hitched to a different horse. But by loving one another, it means that we're under obligation to whoever crosses our path. That's a large obligation, a large debt. So owe no one anything except to be obligated to everyone, because love is the fulfillment of the law. It's almost a pun that he gives there. Love is the new way of life that is given to us in the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, he says that we should not slave away for the devil by adultery and stealing and coveting or seeking out some other way to love ourselves instead of the other. This is the old. Out with the old, in with the new. Or as St. Paul says, put off these things. It's like how you would take off some clothes that have gotten dirty and itchy, like they're infested with insulation. Why do you want to wear something like that? So uncomfortable. Instead, says St. Paul, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a clean shirt for you after taking a bath. Isn't that better? We're not accustomed to talking this way. This can make some people get frustrated at the Bible. They want to be able to understand it on their own terms. But surely St. Paul has a point in talking this way. St. Paul was certainly able of making lists for acceptable behavior. Talking that way would perhaps even be more natural. But these to-do lists, while they're easy to understand, do not actually have the power to get stuff done. If we were able to shape up just by looking at a list and trying harder, then certainly the Lord Jesus died for no purpose whatever. A list a mile long won't make anybody any better. The best that it can do, make people into hypocrites. What is needed is divine strength, gifts. And this is what St. Paul is getting at with this language. Being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ is not something that we can do if only we try hard enough. God's working in us by his word and Holy Spirit, God's giving more and more to us, is the only way that progress is made in sanctification. We have to be renewed in our bodies, souls, and spirits in a way that this old world isn't capable of doing. Spiritual, supernatural gifts are necessary, and this is what Jesus gives to those whom he has called. To want to ignore this kind of talking because it's unusual and incomprehensible to our flesh is to want to ignore the gospel itself. We do not believe in salvation by the accomplishment of certain tasks. We believe in the Son of God becoming one of us, flesh of our flesh, and making us fit before God by his working and his giving. This is a gentle, giving message. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, will make you complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all God's working. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ is when the day dawns. This is St. Paul's picture that I've tried to translate over to being a short timer. He says, it's already the hour for you to wake up from sleep because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over and the day is drawing near. So let's put away the deeds of darkness and put on the weapons of light. This is an encouraging picture. The night of sin is almost over. The day of righteousness is almost here. Hold on for a little bit longer. You are closer to your salvation now than when you first believed. You're a short timer who has already put in your week and a half. Jesus is coming soon. The new life is just around the corner. Set your mind on that, on the things that are above, on the things that are to come. Let the devil have to try to manage without you. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.